We go to the live line this morning, and joining me for Dial-A-Doc on this New Year's Eve from FHN Family Counseling, Joe White is with me this morning. And Joe, thanks for joining me. Obviously, New Year's tomorrow, New Year's resolutions right around the corner here. And as a behavioral health specialist, can you just explain for us what compels most people to make New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, absolutely. New Year's resolutions have been ingrained in us for a long time. January is actually named after the Roman god Janus, meaning new beginnings, and it's been a custom ever since then. So it's kind of hardwired into our brains. So, and then just as humans in general, we're always seeking a desire to change or make something different. We don't tend to like status quo for a long amount of time, so often we try to be better. And making these goals or these resolutions are the best way for us to know how to make better. Goals are kind of how we change what we do. And so these resolutions are just really big goals that we're setting for ourselves at this time of the year.
So why don't people make resolutions or goals at other times of the year?
So actually, we kind of do make goals at different times of the year. If you think about how many diets are supposed to start on Mondays, how many times we have jobs that start on Mondays, or we decide to wait till the next natural break in our life or the next natural starting point. New Year's just tends to be a really big starting point, and we have a lot of other people doing it at the same time. So that gives that added pressure to make that change. One other big resolution time tends to be birthdays, saying that, you know, hey, 47 is the new 30, so I'm going to learn to finally play guitar. Or I'm going to save so many dollars by the time I'm 50, those types of resolutions. So we do make them at different times of the year. It's just with New Year's, we have the pressure and the added support of everyone doing it at the same time.
Why do many New Year's resolutions seem to fail and sometimes fail rather quickly?
Well, it's kind of ironic in that one of the things that makes us want to do them is that pressure and the support. But one of the things we fail to use is that support. A lot of times we depend mainly on willpower. And, you know, we as, you know, stubborn humans like to think of willpower as this endless supply of energy to fight impulses. But what we really need to think of is willpower. It's more like a rechargeable tool. Sometimes it's the wrong tool, and sometimes it's just running low on batteries or low on its charge.
So how do most people set themselves up for failure when it comes to New Year's resolutions?
Well, like I was saying, like relying on willpower when you're trying to set resolutions is not great, because we don't always recharge our willpower by, you know, filling ourselves with life or doing other things with support. Or we don't find other tools that can help us. A lot of times finding multiple tools will help us in the future and keep us from failing. Another thing that causes us to set ourselves up for failure a lot is that we will tend to pick a popular goal instead of one that means something specific to us. So by picking that popular goal that's going around Facebook, such as dropping Facebook, last year was a big goal, or 2 years ago was a big goal, that can cause a problem because it's not something we actually want to do. The other problem is that a lot of times people pick either too big of a goal or multiple goals instead of sticking with one simple thing that's important to them.
So let's say somebody picks one of those popular goals or big goals, and it does fail. What happens when people do fail their resolutions?
Well, the first thing is that often we feel some shame. We give up. We chalk it up to being another year that we broke our resolution. But instead, it'd be better if we were to start think of it as a slip, something to learn from, learning that, hey, this is not the method that works for me. I need to figure out something else that this is really important. I need to figure out some other tools, some other things that I can do if this is really important to me.
So what are some keys to setting resolutions that people can actually keep?
Yeah, so to keep those resolutions, kind of as I've been saying, is you want to set a goal that is important to you, something specific, something that you are going to see the benefits from. Then break it down into pieces that you can manage. So set that personal goal, then break it down into the pieces that you can manage. We can't all save, $20,000, you know, but if you start thinking about, hey, I'm going to save $10 a week, that's a little bit more manageable, or whatever pieces make sense. Then getting that full set of tools that you can use. So you have willpower as one tool, but you can use other tools, like a way to keep track of your progress, logging it, getting support from friends, families, or professionals, creating a list of what are the benefits of the change. So what are the benefits of saving money? What are the benefits of losing weight? What are the benefits of quitting smoking? Having that motivational list will help us through those times that willpower is low. And then keeping track of those little milestones. We said break it down into little pieces. Celebrate each time you pass one of those little goals or you make one of those little pieces work for you.
So assuming that many resolutions have to do with behavior modifications and changing, how can people better help themselves make those changes?
Well, the more often we can declare that achievement and see a positive result, the more likely we're going to continue. That's kind of how gambling, that's how video games work, is that the more often we can get that positive reward, that positive acknowledgement, the more likely we're going to keep that behavior going. You know, our brain is not wired to wait 365 days to declare success. You know, we want to see those rewards, those achievements a little bit sooner than that. So by changing our behavior and short bursts, celebrating those short bursts, you know, we are more likely to keep that habit up. And the other thing to remember when it comes to behavior is that it often takes 90 days or 13 weeks for a behavior to stick. So if you're really struggling in those first 90 days to 13 weeks, you know, we're talking about March here, that's normal. That's how our brains are wired.
What are some of the most difficult types of change? And are there some things that we might want or need to change that really don't lend themselves well to being New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, so anything that has to do with making that chemical change in the brain, so we're talking about like addictive substances, nicotine, alcohol, but also the ones we don't necessarily think of as super addictive, so it could be sugar, caffeine, and then starting with New Year's Day, we've got marijuana in the mix of things that are a little bit more acceptable, but we also have to acknowledge that they make a change in the brain. So anything that changes our brain chemistry is going to be hard for us to change the behavior that goes along with it. So if you want to attack them first, it kind of goes back to if that change is something that's important to you. If it's going to make a lasting positive impression in your life, and if it's going to have good payoff, and if it's manageable, and it can be broken down into manageable pieces, then yeah, now it's time to attack it. So you want it to be personal, you want it to have a good payoff, you want it to be manageable, and you want to be able to break it down into pieces, then yeah, it's the right time to attack it.
So let's say someone feels like they're about to slip and lose their resolve, their, you know, break their resolution. What are some things that they should do?
Well, the number one thing that anyone should do anytime that they're feeling down or a slip or they're about to break any type of promise or any change that they're trying to make is to talk to someone. Talk to a friend, talk to a family, talk to a professional, talk to someone who actually already knows your end goals. So part of that setting up for a positive result is to talk to people ahead of time about what you're trying to change. So that way you can go back to them and you don't have to explain it all over again and you don't have to explain why it's a hard thing for you. You've already talked to them ahead of time. So talking to someone is the number one thing. Then we go back to those other tools of reviewing those positive outcomes, that motivational list. What are the things you're going to get out of keeping this change going? What is the healthier you going to be or the more financially secure or the new skill that you're going to get? What's the positive outcomes? When they outweigh the momentary slip, we're less likely to slip when the positive outweighs the negative. And then just remember that if we do slip, that's not necessarily the end of the resolution. The resolution is to accomplish this goal. So it's a way to learn what not to do, what we need to change, and not necessarily just an end of our goal for the year.
All right. Well, if you know someone who needs help in overcoming some type of behavioral problem, or if you yourself would need some help, how can they get in touch with FHN Family Counseling?
Sure. The best way is to call 815-599-7300 and talk with one of our staff or leave a message, and then our staff will get back to you. You know, at Family Counseling Center, the main focus is to partner with people for growth. So it really goes along well with the idea of New Year's resolutions. You can also look up our information on FHN.org. We're listed under locations as well as counseling services. And again, that phone number, 815-599-7300.
All right, Joe White of FHN Family Counseling. Joe, thanks for joining me this week on Dial-A-Doc.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
All right, Joe White from FHN Family Counseling here this morning on The Morning Mess.